Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teacher. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. Thank you for joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, for RAM Radio, the webcast, the Biblical Alternative, on this November the 19th, 2009. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence." All right, Lord, I apologize. I haven't been gentle all the time. I've been kind of, but life does that to me. Listen, friends, in a world of professing Christians, the true believer must always classify themselves as those who are justified in Christ's righteousness by their position in Christ. You got to justify it. You just don't talk about it. Justify it. This divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God. Alone. You know what that means? The Word of God guides the discipline of the Christian life in the believer. You can tell that we're a believer because we are coinciding with what the Word of God says. This is what Into the Word RAM Radio is all about. The Biblical Alternative speaks to these particular absolutes. This ministry is any other true Christian ministry, and I've failed God at times. This ministry has failed God at times. At least I'll admit mine. What we are is we are guided by God's Word because that's the highest standard that directs our lives. I can't attempt to minister to others unless I define who I am by what I believe. My God, I can't recall the years that I've been making that statement only to be haunted by tonight's program. Welcome to RAM Radio. When the game is up is what I'm calling this one. Talk about strange goings on. Tonight's webcast will do two things. I will further expose the danger of getting so huge that you depend upon dollars from the outside to fund an ongoing effort to promote your selfish aims at being otherworldly, as well as clearly showing you folks out there how telling the truth will ultimately cause you to suffer at a level unthinkable and from the hands of those whom you would never, ever suspect. My mind goes all the way back to a young an Anglo guy that I know that was associated with Grace Community Church. And I'm not blaming anybody for him becoming an atheist but himself, because that's a choice that he's come to. But before he made that great claim of being an atheist and denying the existence of God, friends, I was in his home and saw what church people can do to you. I saw how he was broken, ruined, made miserable by people when you're not strong enough to stand up on your own two legs. We'll talk about that later. All I'm asking, my friends, for you is an account of one of the nation's leading leaders on his date as to when he came to know Christ personally. That's all I've been asking for the past few months. Is that asking too much? Yeah, I want to know the date. Why? I just want to know it. Let me give you a list of things that I want to share with you, because my name has been bescathed by one of the top men there at Grace, and before I get into that, I want to say something. This person that I'm speaking about, Dr. John MacArthur, is the most prolific writer of commentaries concerning the New Testament in my life and times. The man is just fantastic in writing New Testament commentaries. Secondly, he is also one of the most sought-after speakers in the defense of the Christian faith on radio and television. Yes, he is. Thirdly, He is known as the most conservative theologue of the modern era, John MacArthur. He is a famous, famous man. Fourthly, he writes about sin and its forthcoming in defining what sin is in the life of others. But he can't recall a time in his life when he smacked of the very sin nature that he talks about, as say for some child vandalism that he got involved in. And I would say, cut me some slack, John, because I remember every sin that I've ever committed in my life. And I'll just get real with you folks this week. Fifthly, he holds one of the most outstanding theological, he heads, that is, one of the most outstanding theological institutions in this country, the United States of America. And he hails from a family of preachers that had a noted record of influence on the evangelical church. John MacArthur Jr. is indeed a man of high degree. He is indeed very educated, too educated not to know the fact, as simple as when he came to Christ. See, this is my pet peeve. This is why I'm pushing this thing to the limit. The man is too smart not to know that. I'm smart enough to know every time I sin and when I became born again. Yet, he feels that it's not important for him to even recall the event. Now, you can sit out there and judge me. Call me a crackpot all you want to. But I think that these are decent questions to ask. He is loved by so many, honored by hundreds and thousands of admirers worldwide for his expositional talents as well as his exegetical insights. There is not a man that is finer in the art of doing that work. I don't know. I have reminiscences of Kittel flowing through my mind back in the times of Germany, and I'm trying to leave that alone. Let me give you another one. He, like other preachers, raises controversy in that his peers either love him or hate him. And that happened in the day of Spurgeon. That happened in the day of all of the great preachers. Either you liked the guy or you hated the guy. Point. I'm the point. You either hate me or you love me. And then...
But one thing that I would have to say...
Okay.
And interject here, Pastor. This is Thank Bob Pink, who... is here in the studio with Pastor John this evening. And the thing that I would say is that Pastor John and myself do not hate John MacArthur. He is not somebody that we love or hate.
Right.
He is somebody that we have a great deal of respect for.
Absolutely.
Especially his intellect and his education.
Yes.
We hope that his motives are pure. But the... issues that we raise is when we see activity that appears that he's protecting his institution, protecting his money flow, or even continuing his money flow. In other words, you know, one of the issues with him that is one of my deepest concerns is the end of his radio broadcast when he says, you know, by the way, we've got a resource. If you're wondering about this thing that we spoke about today, we've got a wonderful resource. And for a generous donation of such and such, we can send that out to you. Admittedly, he does put a lot of sermons on his website for free. That's much more commendable than many pastors do who charge for every sermon that goes on the website. He does give a lot of free resources to people who are exploring their faith or not believers or,
yes,
you know, so those are commendable acts. But our biggest issue, number one, again, is not our love or hate for the man, but our examination of the man. What is going on there? So, again, is he protecting an institution? Is he protecting a money flow? Is he protecting his own prestige when he fails to acknowledge his sinful nature and his own depravity?
Yes.
And cannot recall a time in his life when he ever had such depravity or apostasy, even in Phil Johnson's own statements, then we have to start asking, what is he doing? Is he protecting an image? Because there is an image. There's an image of person worship. There's an image of idol worship, where he's allowing himself to be worshipped as an idol, and he is allowing and perpetuating that by not coming clean with the depths of his own depravity.
Yes.
One thing that Pastor John and myself will admit to anybody on a regular basis is that we fight that ugly flesh,
every day,
sinful nature,
every day, man.
Every single day we suffer that battle, and we will not be completely free of that battle until we take our final breath. And that we have to admit. We don't like to admit that, and anybody else that doesn't admit that is a lie.
Right, just flat out, they're lying. And so we find that it's something extremely disturbing. It is disturbing with the man with these credentials would be like this. And I want to add this other point that I had. Dr. MacArthur is envied by little-minded people who desire to imitate, initiate ministry in like form, even to the extent of naming ministry after Grace Community Church fashion. I'm not one of those guys.
Right. We see that all over the place. We see that with Calvary Chapels.
Absolutely.
We see that with any major ministry.
Right.
Then we see the imitators, the people who are initiating similar sounding.
Right.
Or they put a dove that looks like the Calvary dove over their church or
right.
whatever. Emulating, imitating, and initiating in like form, so because they want to be that.
And you know what that is? What that is that is one person really sent me a great email. It is like a kind of like a Babylonian religious system. Mm-hmm. You have these icons, you have these things formulating your ministry. Whenever you have ministers, I don't mind a minister being educated. I had to defend my view of Christianity in the college today to a couple of students. One was a Muslim and one was, I don't know what he was, but I defended it. They became angry at me, and I told them, as a matter of fact, one said, "You're not willing to listen." And I said, "I only listen to what the Word of God states." Now, I can appreciate that, but in standing in defense of something, you have to admit. As a matter of fact, Bob, it was a moment that I couldn't believe. The Muslim guy has some very expensive oil for men, and he gave me a vase of it. He said, "I've been thinking of you," and he gave me that. And he says, "You've made me think about things. You see what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a relationship with the person in love."
Yes,
and the person would give me a gift because he is pleased with the way I even don't run down his God.
Mm-hmm.
I am communicating to him the difference of our faiths.
Right.
But I'm doing it in love.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we love Dr. MacArthur, as you said. I love the man. I would hope that the man would get in contact with me and attempt at least to email me or something and to say, "John, I'd like to give a better explanation of this." But nothing has come forth. What I'm going to read to you.
In fact, what we're getting out of Grace now
is
name calling and personal attacks.
Oh, yeah. And when we read this letter to you, and I want to thank my friend, Bob Johnson, sent us the letter, and other people know about the letter because it's all over the internet.
And that's the question then is this the Christian response to legitimate questions?
This is Grace response because I saw how they systematically destroyed a young man that asked them repeated questions that they refused to answer to this young man's liking, whether he was right or wrong. And then they just crucified him for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Grace Community Church did that.
Mm-hmm.
It was most wicked. Well, it won't work with me because I'm an older Christian and I know the games that people play. Listen, I've admired Dr. MacArthur. I've purchased many of his commentaries. I've spoken at the college that adorns his name and his very influence. I have accepted his challenge to teach in the same fashion of expositional excellence, as well as the teaching style to many students all over the country. And in the few years that I have been blessed enough to work in the vineyard for Jesus Christ. So we don't hate him. We appreciate what he's done. But just as if you would hear me say that God affirms homosexual marriages, mm-hmm. if you heard John Coleman say, God has revealed to me that he affirms homosexual marriages, you're going to have to call me on that.
And then the true Christian, when called on it with a biblical basis, the true Christian responds to that in a fashion, yes, you are correct. I have stepped outside the boundaries of what God has put me in, and I need to repent of that, and I need to then amend my ways and make it right. That's what right. the true Christian does.
Right.
And so the question is when you are allowing yourself and actually perpetuating yourself to be worshiped as an idol,
wow.
and somebody calls you on that, and then you send out the attack dogs
yeah.
and say, well, you're a crackpot.
or a lunatic.
you have worthless sources.
Yeah, we're going to read the letter.
All of a sudden, is that the proper Christian response to a solidly theological, biblical question?
And that is the question, and that is what we must address today. Many of you may be asking the question, where is this particular letter located at? If you would type in your browser, and I'm going into it right now. Just let me move this cursor up a little bit. If you would type in your browser, Possessing the Treasure, it's a blog called Possessing the Treasure. It is a blog by Mike Ratcliffe. And Mike Ratcliffe wrote an article entitled Lies and Deceit on December the 12th, 2009. You have to read the article. And in that article, because Mike knows Phil Johnson. And Bob, why don't you give us what Phil Johnson's title or role is, and so that the people that are listening will know how high this man is on this level at Grace Community Church. And that's what's so surprising about these bulldog attacks that's now coming my way, because you would expect far more out of an intelligent person here. Bob's just going back on his computer because we do research here somewhat before we do our webcast. We don't like to just shoot from the hip. We like to know what we're talking about. Who is this Phil Johnson before we read the letter?
And this comes from Spurgeon.org. And then it says the bio of Philip R. Johnson. Philip R. Johnson is perhaps best known for the blog that he founded and a few other notable websites. He is today the executive director of Grace to You, a Christian tape and radio ministry featuring the preaching ministry of John MacArthur. He has been closely associated with John MacArthur since 1981, edits most of John MacArthur's major books. He pastors an adult fellowship group called Grace Life at Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, board member of the Martin Lloyd-Jones Recordings Trust in England, a member of the Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals, FIRE. He studied at Southeastern Oklahoma State University for 1 year, transferring then to Moody Bible Institute, where he earned a bachelor's degree in theology in 1975. He spent 1 year at a fundamentalist Baptist school in Tennessee, took some courses in publishing and editing at the University of Chicago. He was an assistant pastor in St. Petersburg, Florida, and an editor for Moody Press before moving to Southern California to take his current position in 1983. Theologically, Phil is a committed Calvinist with a decidedly Baptistic bent. That explains his love for Spurgeon. He's also an inveterate reader and a bibliophile, and he has then personal
yeah.
family,
and,
et cetera.
And I think that that's an excellent bio. Before we get into this, I'd like to quote a scripture to you, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. And I think it's well familiarized with Christians and when it's talking about strife amongst brethren. And it says, who, speaking of Jesus, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. I hope that myself and Bob and Mark Ramsey and everyone associated with me, even Bob Johnson, would pay attention to this verse. Now, would you would hope that a man with credentials, the way that Phil Johnson has, would even acquiesce to that particular verse? Well,
and once again, because the indication or implication here is that we started the fight. And number one is, it's not a fight. The question is, as an apologetic ministry, we look into ministries who are proclaiming Christ. And we see whether or not they live up to the standard or whether they fall short.